So hi everybody. Well, we decided to do it. I never teach actually in New Year Eve. It's my first time. And we decided to do it because in New York right now it's 11:15, 11:20. You guys got 40 minutes to the airport to drop down. In Hawaii, I don't know what time is it in Hawaii now, sometime. In LA, we are in 8:15. So in Hong Kong, I think people will wake up to work now. So the universe has somehow a global consciousness tonight. Meditate in this time because it's you have 7 billion people who are in the same level of consciousness. So why not to enter with the Zohar, with the consciousness of the Zohar, with the spiritual essence of what we're going to teach tonight. So for that reason, Debbie and me decided to do it. Even I know a lot of people go to party or go to comedy club tonight, go to restaurant. But I'm thinking, you know, we're going to do some study. We have some wine, a little bit of food, and take it to the next level. So before I'm starting, I just want to share, when we study what we study here, it's taking us into another level. It's actually for the people who are not connected at all to anything. So people now, as I say, in New York, it's 11:20. So people are just before midnight. I mean, I'm not a person like, I try to be part of the crowd and to be like happy and rain and snow no matter what, but I couldn't grasp it, staying in the rain with an umbrella that the wind make it fly and get excited by those glasses that say 219 in it. So that's how I want to start before we're going into the parasha. But the idea is I'm trying to understand that concept. And I'm not saying I'm right. Again, not at all. I'm saying I'm right because I love happy people. So when I saw on TV, on all the news, how people are together, there's nothing more beautiful. You have billions of people tonight are celebrating the same event. So I really don't care if it's part of religion or not. I care. It's part of humanity. That humanity are actually together tonight, no boundaries. But I'm not sure I will do it the same way. Like go and stay in the rain in New York or in Hong Kong or in Singapore, and I'm waiting for something to happen, and that's it. But I enjoy the concept of people are actually brave enough and strong enough and believe enough and have desire. In fact, for many years, I'm thinking about myself, and I'm sorry I'm making that confession with you. For many years, I'm thinking about myself, maybe something wrong with me. Maybe I was born with some damage. Why am I not have a desire to do so? And for that reason, I went to many parties all my life, and I just forced myself to enjoy it. So tonight is the first night that actually I'm teaching on New Year Eve. All those years, I tried to do something, which I enjoy study, I enjoy teaching, I enjoy eating, drinking, why not? So let's start. The name of the portion is called Va'era. And the pasuk, the verse starts, Va'idaber Elohim l'Moshe. Elohim is talking to God. We know that God has many, Elohim is talking to Moses. And we know God has many names. In this essence, it's called Elohim. Like the same name that was created in this universe. Bereshit bara Elohim. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth, also use Elohim. But look what it says. Vaydaber Elohim el Moshe vayomer elav, Ani Hashem. I am Hashem. I am God. I am Yud Kei Vav Kei. I am the Tetragrammaton. I don't know how in the English they're translating it. And God spoke to Moses and told him, I am God. It's not a good translation. Because Elohim spoke to Moses and then he told them, I am God. But it's not the God that was talking in the beginning. And when you look at the old commentary, Elohim belonged to Midat Adin.
to the attribute of judgment. What is judgment? Judgment means when there is no time between cause and effect. That's judgment. Mercy means you have time between cause and effect. There is distance until things happen. Give you the chance to change, give you the chance to improve. You know, like father get angry with the son and tell him, I'm giving you 1 hour to do whatever I ask you to do. That's judgment. If the father say, change in your own will and have all the time you need, that's Yud Kei Vav Kei, Tashi Ramadan. What is God trying to tell to Moses? Last week we end up with Moses getting angry with God. And he said to God, listen, since you chose me to be a leader, things just go wrong. Why do you want me to be a leader? This week it starts with God talking to Moses, try to calm him down and tell him, you remember that Elohim, which is judgment, it is mercy. It is mercy. And we need to understand it. We need to profoundly understand it. He said, you need to know, I know you're concerned what I told to your great-grandfather, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but you need to know something. He said to him, Yaakov, Be'el Shaddai, Vishmi Adonai lo nodati lahem. I will reveal to them in a different name. So what I told them that will happen to the Israelite was a different name. And what I'm offering to you today is Yud Kei Vav Kei. What we need to learn from that, my dear friend, sometimes we worry about destiny. You have a certain destiny, you have a certain thing need to happen. Well, 2019, begin tonight. But you need to know to what filter you're connecting to. If you're connecting to the right filter, to the right connection, you don't have to worry that much about what you've been destined to do. So, for example, if we take Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva's daughter meant to die in her wedding. She was destined to die in her wedding. She was not supposed to stay alive. And so why is that, that she stay alive? The story tells us that she gave donation to a poor man who looked awful. And she gave him donation just before the wedding. And because of that, she was able to stay alive. So the charity she gave in an unconditional way kept her alive. Now, I saw the other night, I went to a meeting and I saw a couple fighting, husband and wife. So the wife opened her heart to the husband, a little bit too loud. They were very loud. She was loud, opening the heart about different things. And the husband, you know, he listened the best he can. But then he started looking, he had the iPad in his man bag or whatever you want to call it. So he take it out and he flipped the thing. It started his business. After business, it turned into, she mentioned it loud, to WhatsApp of his friend. And then it turned to a game that he loved to play. And then it's screaming, the waiters came, balagan, it was a mess. And the beautiful answer that the husband said to the wife, but I can't change. That's who I am. I was born this way. That's how my father made me. That's how my mother created me. There's nothing I can do. Here we learn it's not true. Not true. It's a Moshe, Moses. It's true. The destiny of the Israelites in Egypt, they stuck. But you need to know what was meant to be came from Kel Shaddai. What was meant to be came from Elohim. I'm offering you a new deal called Yud Kei Vav Kei. So it's not, you cannot connect to the concept of predetermined when you say, I can't change. There's no such a thing. It's not such a thing. You have to try to change, and then by scratching the ceiling of the next level, then change take a place. What happened with people who said, I cannot change? They can never change. Not because they lie. They just bury themselves. You can never say, I can't change. I can't overcome it. I can't make it different. I can't make money. Don't use the word I can't, because every time that you use the word I can't, you are actually put a decree on your soul that you will be doomed forever. So this whole concept of I can't is the worst thing that can happen to you. So it's a very dangerous thing for a person to say, I can't do this, I can't do that. You can say, I don't want to do it. You know, when my kids were young, I used to tell them, if you do things on purpose, I can help you change. But if you did it by mistake, you're doomed. And I said, why? We thought by mistake, it's less of a problem. I said, no. By mistake, you are actually saying I have no control over myself. If you did it purposely, what was it? Now you know you can stop it purposely too. But if you didn't do it purposely, then for sure, you're going to use this excuse tomorrow. Okay? Somebody asked, why did you cheat? I don't know. Family mistake. Next time, why did you cheat? Oh, it was the same mistake. Then. You know? But if you say, I want to do that, what happened next time? I can say, I don't want to do that. It's a very important to understand that saying I did something wrong purposely has a chance to change it. But saying I didn't do it purposely, now you're doomed. So never use the word I can't. Never. Don't do that to yourself. You program your brain to suffer. You program the brain not to make money. You program the brain not to be successful. You program the brain to have terrible relationship. Don't say I can't. Don't use that. I can't wake up in the morning. I don't want to wake up in the morning. Feel much better. I don't want to wake up. I don't want to stop eating. I don't want to stop being an addict. No problem. Tomorrow you can stop. Tomorrow you can change it. Tomorrow your one thing will be something else. For that reason, this parasha called Va'era, because it has three names, Elohim, Elohim, God, Yudke Vavke, also God, Tasha Gametan, and Kel Shaddai, another name. Different frequency of how you connect to God. Do you want to connect to God as I want to, or I have to, or I should, or I can't stop, or I will stop? All those things. Now, I don't know if you have been slave last lifetime. Can you check if you've been slave? I tell you, it's very easy to check. If you don't like people correcting you, you've been slave last lifetime. You need to know that. People start correcting you, tell you what's wrong with you, and you start getting angry and you scream, I can't change, you are a slave. Last lifetime. And this lifetime too. Once you say, I don't want to, I feel like doing that, that's different. You are the boss of your own life. And that's why this parasha is called Va'era. Va'era. Va'era, I was revealed to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They saw me. Lir'ot, the verb to see. You want to see how your life looks like? Don't use the word I can, please. Say, I want. I want for good or for bad. I want to eat. I want to do this. I want to. Simple. Simple. There is a rabbi named Rav Zusha. And Rav Zusha is saying there is few things you study from baby and few things you study from a thief. What you study from a baby is the baby cry until he get what he want. Once he get what he want, he stop crying. And Rav Zusha say, if we can be like a baby, never stop crying until we get what we want. Everything open up. How is this related to 2019? I mean, being around my job, I met thousands of people in my life. And when people ask me, define people, I say there is people who want and there is people who want less. What is the one who want less do? They're busy with the journey. Busy with the journey. You know that famous verse, enjoy the journey, forget the result. That's for small-minded people. People who want to think small, enjoy the journey. Yeah. Good. Why they say that? You ever heard somebody who, you ask him, how did you make the $7 billion? Yeah, well, I was busy with the journey. That's it. Never had a result. You never heard that, right? Or somebody who get things done. There's a result. There is a goal. But why people say enjoy the journey? Because they're afraid. What happens if you have a result you want to get to and you're never going to get there? What happened? You're going to get disappointed. You're going to get... Now, God is not talking about the journey. He said to Moses, those people will get out of Egypt, but the journey will look like 10 plagues. He's telling him before. He said, Pharaoh will disagree with you going out. That's a journey. But don't busy too much with the journey. Enjoy the ride. But set up for something big. Because if you're not set up for something big, you are just thinking small, so you're not going to get disappointed. 2019, installed for each and every one of us. We know that right now, Sun is in Capricorn. Those of you know sign. Moon is in Scorpio. Pretty depressing. Depressing time. And everybody out there in the club need to be happy. People are drinking shot. Oh, gotta be happy. It's new year. Something's gonna happen here. I'm not happy. But I have to be happy. Everybody else is happy. Now everybody say the same thing. Everybody's saying the same thing. We're gonna be happy, gotta be happy. And the idea is 2019. If you want to meditate tonight, meditate on one thing, desire. You have to want more. Why? Because the creator wanna give more than you can imagine. But when you get distracted with food addiction, phone addiction, iPad addiction, I don't know what else, food, I say food already, alcohol addiction, sex addiction, what happened, it's not, people try to avoid what they're addicted to. Don't be busy with the avoiding, be busy with what you can want. In the moment that the person will want more, what you're addicted to is not going to be a problem anymore. Because addiction is always mean you want less. You have to remember that. Addiction means you want less. You always have to remember. Addiction, I repeat, means you want less. So why 2019 to talk about it? Because how you want this year to look like? Do you want to shake your life like no tomorrow? Or you want just another year, what can I do? And I was this age, you had one more. I wasn't good at math, but if I was 49, next year you're 50. If I was 20, next year I'm 21. That's it, that's what the new year means. Or it can mean desire. If there is one thing, one, only one thing that we can change, and it will be desire, you already set up the best year of your life. But if you're not gonna set up desire right now, tonight, why tonight? It's not a unique holiday, but it is because 7 billion people, our mind are open. So being, there is things that coming, it's called Tarotah Dele'ela, something coming from above, and there is something coming from below. From below, it's called Tarotah Dele'ela, from the people. Like what happened in Purim, Tarotah Dele'ela, it happened from the people. So when something coming from below, now, globally, everything is open. Whatever you think, happen, and you connect to all the people in the world. It's very important to remember that. Anyway, let's go to the parasha with verse 52. And in the verse 52, it's talking about four words appearing in this week's parasha. And these four words, it's the word of Geulah. It's the word of redemption. Okay? Ve'otzeti, ve'itzalti, ve'ga'alti, ve'lakachti. There's four words that connect to redemption. Now, redemption means, think about it right now. What do you want to be redeemed from? What is, where are you stuck? Where actually are you stuck? Is there one area in your life where things are not as you wish? All what you have to end is a desire for what you wish. So, let's read this section and see where it's taking us, please.
Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am Hashem and I will bring you out. Rabbi Yehuda said this passage is in reverse order, for it is first written, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt, and then I will deliver you out of their bondage, and then I will redeem you. Should it not have first said, I will redeem you, and then, and I will bring you out? And he answers, the most important point of all he mentioned first, because what? Because the Holy One, blessed be He, wanted to herald to them first the best of all, which is the Exodus from Egypt.
So, a lot of time, people don't know how to start a conversation with people. So, the idea, there is two styles, even in public speaking. You first say it all, everything, and then you go to the details. Or there is other style of public speaking from the old days, from the 70s, you go step by step by step, and then you summarize everything that you spoke about. Two style working, by the way. Two style working till today. Two style working. The organized way is to go point one. You got it clear, good, summarize, point one. point two, summarize point one, and then summarize 6 points, and everybody go home happy, and they memorize. Some speaker, new style. We're going to give you a punchline in the first 3 minutes, and then we're going to break the details of everything else that we want to talk about later. You understand? Two style. Here it seems God using the second style from the 90s. Because people were unmotivated. They were slaves in Egypt. They don't want to listen to you. So they come, advertising company of God came. They say, hi, we are goatcorporation.com. We would like to tell you we all going to get out of Egypt. Are you ready to listen? They say, yes. Okay, now let me tell you what, how is it going to look like. So the Zohar is teaching us something 2,000 years ago that was written. Very unique. When you want to deliver a message, you know, you got to know how to do it. Otherwise, you lose the customer, you lose the people. They don't want to hear you. But if you tell them, I have a solution for your problem, are you up for it? I said, yes. So, okay, let me tell you what's going to happen. This is a few things you got to do, and this is the result you're going to have. Then people will listen. That's what we learned from that. So it's quite important, especially in 2019, how you going to speak to people. Continue, please.
Rabbi Yossi said, but the best of all is, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you as an Elohim. Yet he told them this afterwards. He said to him that there was nothing better for them than an exodus at that time, because they thought they would never leave their bondage. For they saw that all the prisoners among them were tied with knots and of sorcery, and that they would be forever prevented to go free from them. Therefore, they were announced first of that which was more dear to them than anything else.
Okay, so Rabbi Yossi is coming with a challenge. He said, I think the best part about it, when God tells them, you will be my people, you will be my nation, and I will be your God. So he's answering, it's not so correct. The people in Egypt were under influence of black magic, sorcery or black magic. Okay, it's called ksharim. Ksharim, when somebody tie you in a certain curse, that no matter what you're going to do, you're not going to have money, you're not going to have relationship, you're not going to have money, nothing will work for you. It exists, by the way, it exists. I mean, the good news, most people who try to do black magic have no idea what they're doing. No idea, nothing. You know, they try magic, but they have no idea what they're doing. One of the ways to check if you are under a spell is if there is ants in your house, you are not under a spell. Ants will not visit a home or a person who has spell on them. You know, if you have no ants or any other similar creature to that, you know, you should be worried. You should be concerned, because that's the first sign, according to Kabbalah, that show, you know, there is an issue. So I think we are, the Gian family are the only one who are happy when we see ants. Remember, when we see ants, when we don't see ants, what's going on? Something is wrong. Something is wrong. We put some sugar, they don't coming. You know, so we get nervous. We get nervous because we know from the book that this is the thing. Because people can actually, with magic, I don't like to talk about it a lot because I don't want people to get scared. But magic can do a lot if it's done right. You lose your free will, your choices. I've seen people doing them. I saw people doing them right. I saw most people are doing them wrong. And the wrong is no influence. So 98% of the people doing it wrong, that's why there's no effect. But the 2% who are doing it right, people can stay single all their life. Women cannot give birth. And money disappear. Weird stuff happening. But for that 2%, you know, there is a lot of answer in Kabbalah for that. What to do? We hope never to use it, but it exists. It's just so that you know it exists. And I remember one time I had to go to a meeting with people who use heavily duty magic, and I knew that. And I had to wear on me one of those scrolls that I use from here and to put it in my wallet because it was very heavy. And thank God I was able not to get cursed. I didn't go out with good result, but at least I get out of there healthy. And most people walk in, either get sick or something happened to them the next day. So you gotta be careful with that. You gotta be careful. It exists, but don't be overly afraid. You know, talk to me, tell me what's the issue, and I will tell you if it's for real or not for real. Most cases, not for real. But if you meet something for real, it's not easy. not easy at all. And there is, but most cases are fake and not exist. But the people who know how to do it, as it's written here, you can stay slave all your life. Go ahead, 54.
And if you argue that even though they left Egypt, the Egyptians might follow them to harm them, therefore it is written, and I will deliver you out of their bondage. If you say it is possible that they would go out and be saved, but they would not be redeemed, the Torah says, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. If you say that he would not accept them as his people, it is written, and I will take. And if you say that when he accepts them as a people, he will not bring them to the land of Israel, of this is written, and I will bring you into the land.
So the idea, the promise that the Creator is promising us, the people, is I'm going to get you out of Egypt. I'm going to choose you in my nation, and I'm going to protect you. A lot of time when you pray, make sure you ask the right thing. There is a story about a lady who couldn't have babies. It's a true story. And she was praying that God will give her a chance to have a child because she wanted to be with children. And then nothing happened. She kept praying, Rosh Hashanah. And then one time, she prayed. She said, God, I don't care that I will be not here, even dying, just that my husband will have a baby. And even if I will be here for 3 months, I'm okay with that. And she gave birth to a baby. Everybody was happy. It was a miracle. And she died after 3 months. The father came to see, I think it was the Baal Shem Tov. So what happened? See, if your wife could only ask to stay alive after she gave birth to the baby, God will do it too. A lot of time we're asking too small. We think we're asking for something, but what we ask is relative to what we don't have. And we have to be careful. One of the reasons to go out to the world and to see what's happening in the world, not to be jealous, but to see how much more you can have. How much more money you can have, how much more love you can have, how much more health you can have, how much all the good things. You got to open your eyes to how much nourishment coming from the Creator toward you. But if you are not changing, you stay as you are, don't expect things to get better. It's not going to get better. It's going to stay the same. You didn't change anything. You didn't. You're still chasing your tail. You know, people in business chasing their tail. Oh, opportunity. Get reactive. Let's get it. And they got it. And they did it. And they did. And they didn't get it. One time I gave a lecture in Manhattan. So it was people who have many stores in the fancy, in the Madison, if you know Madison Avenue. So somebody gathered them for me, and it was a very nice evening, wine, this. I was very blessed to do that. And we're sitting together, and we talk, not a lot of people, 15 people, like, nice. And we talk about how to approach the sell. It was many of them. To go for it, not to go for it. So one person said, you got to go for it. Somebody walked to the door. Situation is bad. It was in the beginning of the 90s. It was not easy in New York. So some people say, let's do it. Some people say, no, you should wait, let them go in, don't attack. So it was all kind of argument on that. So they asked me, what do you think? I said, well, I believe, you know, when you react to one person, you might lose another 10 people who try to go into the store. And they look at me and say, well, makes sense. I said, how do you know the person you're reacting to is the one who's going to buy? When 10 people try to come in, they will be the one who buy. And I didn't give them a solution. I just offered it as a question. And what I'm trying to say, in life, there is so much opportunity for you. So much opportunity. 2019 will present billions of opportunity. The question, are you acting exactly the same like you could act in 2018, or you change your approach to life? You have to ask yourself. You got to be real. You got to be real. Are you want to be the fixer? Or you want to be part of the wonderful thing that finds you? Because if you want to be the fixer, this ear will make you fix things. You're always going to fix. Fix. But there is so much more that you can have. But because you didn't change your frequency and your style, you will have to end up again in the same situation. For that reason, you're going to have a bigger goal. Where do you want to be? If you think that your value is very important and you're meant to be famous or rich or something like this, because why not? Why wouldn't you be famous and rich? Well, it's ego. Well, it's whatever. Greedy. What else? All the excuse. All the excuse. I call it the excuse of spiritual people. But if you are the one who meant to run the show, then you got to run the show. It's come with a responsibility. It's saying about King David. When the prophet Samuel come to look for King David to make him the king. So he went to the house of Ishai, his father. He arrived to the house of Ishai. Ishai was very proud. Prophet Samuel is here. He present all the brothers, all of them was tall, strong, muscled. But he sent King David with the sheep and the goat to the mountain. Because he looked weird. He was small, didn't grow up enough. Red hair, and he was looking like the maid. The Midrash said that he looked like the maid. So it was a little, not comfortable. So he said, the king, David, he was a king, said, go goat and sheep and, you know, mountain far from here. So Samuel doesn't work physically. He go, he look at the brother, wow, strong, powerful, smart, clever, believe in God. They are the best. Samuel functioned from God. Prophet is not the king. Prophet is only talking to the boss. So he go, and he's looking for a certain sign above their head. It's the keter, it's the crown. And he couldn't find it. So he look at Ishai, the father, and said to him, that's all your children. He said, so you sure? So he take him aside and said, we have another boy, the young one. But it's not a material for a king. It's not something you want. So may I see him? You gotta trust me. I'm a great believer in God. And Ishai was the most spiritual human being. Most spiritual human being you can imagine. He's one of the only human beings that God promised him to go to the Garden of Eden while he's alive. That's how spiritual he was. He buried in Hebron. And Ishai said, okay, if that's what you want to take. Now don't forget, he has red hair, all of them black hair. So he looked, and the maid worked there as a red hair too. So it was, people make fun of Ishai. Even nothing happened. It was judgment. So he go and he see King David, you know, he's happy. He's always been happy. Samuel see and he see the crown above his head. Doesn't hesitate twice. He take the special oil, this oil for kings, and he pour it over his head. They say, you are the next king of Israel. Everybody's shocked. Like, nobody even knew who he was. No, they hide him for so many years. Just shh. Be, you know, because he knew he was different, you know, the nothing. He was the only was with a slam shot that he did at Goliath. And he was famous for that. People like him. He was likable by the simple people because he was simple. So when he became the king, he didn't become the king right away. He didn't. He couldn't. The first king, King Saul, didn't like the idea. Even God say so. King Saul said, "What do you want? I'm not moving from here." His son Jonathan was supposed to be the next king. Agree with that. Say, Father, it came from God. He almost killed him for that. He said, but it came from God. You know, you are the king because God says so. No. King Saul decided to go for a war to get rid of this David thing. While David is running away from King Saul, you know what he write? He write a book where he praised God for all the gift that he's giving him. Never complain. The book, I don't know if you heard about it, called the Book of Psalms, Tehillim. You know what he's doing there? Just writing it. I can't believe our life is good. If you knew when he wrote those paragraphs, has he been chased to be killed? God told him he did one mistake only. You know what was the mistake? While King Saul is sleeping, King David cut a piece of his coat to remind him that he could kill him, but he didn't kill him. And God came to him and said to him, that was really wrong. Because you scared somebody who was once the king of Israel. And you have to do tshuva, you have to do repentance for that.
Can you imagine how far God went with him? One time he complained about spider. He said, I don't find the reason for God creating that creature. It's a wrong creature. There's nothing good about it. You know what God did to him? That's what's beautiful about King David and God, the bonding. So God sent all the soldier and the King Saul's soldier to look for him, to kill him. And he hides in the cave. He has no place to run. The spider build a web. So they skip that cave because there's no way he's in. So God said to him, now, do you understand why spider is important? He said, never going to complain about nothing. And the next test is when he asked God, I want to be tested like a righteous man. God said, but you're never going to pass. You have no chance to pass the test that righteous people pass. He said, try me. So back from the war, you see a most gorgeous, sexy lady named Avishag, and her skirt fell off. Instead of going with the soldier, he turned left after her. Voice came from heaven and said, David. He said, that's his excuse, the most beautiful excuse in the Zohar. She said, God, I will never make you wrong. You say I will never pass. I didn't pass. It's the most beautiful section in the Zohar. So what makes King David good with God, and the reason I bring all of those stories, is what is your relationship to God? How do you look at God? As a punisher? As your friend? As the one who loves you? As the one who will fulfill all your potential? What is your relationship, actually? Do you have any relationship? That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. You know, I had a conversation with somebody that I believe is one of the 36 righteous people in the world. So, and he overly respect me. I want to respect him, but he doesn't let me. And I asked him, can you tell me your secret? He was surprised me asking him that. Because he usually come for advice. I said, I really want to know, how did you do what you did? He changed something that 1,000 people I meet cannot change. I said, how did you do it? And he said to me, listen, I try everything in my power. And it didn't work. Everything. And I reach out to God and I say, God, you and me know. That's what he told me today. So beautiful. You and me know that I cannot do it. I can't overcome it. I have a problem. And he told me the next morning I woke up and things just work. He surrendered to the Creator, to the Divine, to God. And he feels that God is his best friend and they partner in whatever they do. This week in Va'era, in this section we just read, we need to understand that we're getting into a time, 2019, we need to change the connection we had with the divine. Second, we have to change the desire. If we don't do it, if we're not committed to do that, your business will look the same or even worse. Your relationship will look the same or even worse. Health the same, everything. You got to develop two things. How much you want your life to be better? And what's your definition of your relationship with the Creator, the Divine? If those two things, so what are you expecting? If you're still reacting to every job that you get, oh my God, somebody called me, they want a business. It's okay. I listen to the voicemail later. If you're too reactive, just don't take the phone call. Wait 5 minutes. And if people scream at you, why didn't you answer? Tell them, Eliyahu, so put it on me. And you will see how your life starts changing. Don't get reactive to good or bad. It's not about reaction. Reaction is mean I'm out of control. Right? You want to sell, a cup of tea. And somebody say, hey, can I buy this cup of tea? Cool. Relax. You're desperate. So you're so desperate to sell it. It's not about communication skills. I'm talking about spirituality. Leave it alone. Wait 5 minutes. Because you compare success based on where you are. Don't panic right away. Very important. Don't panic right away to the result. People calling you, I want to buy that, and you're right away jumping on them. Can't do that. You're going to do a mistake for sure. But if you wait a little bit, relax, make a connection to the divine. Okay, divine love me. Second connection, how much I want here? What do I want from life? Take it slowly. You clear on that? Now go back, make the decision. Two things change, it's not a lot. And wait 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Five, it's not a lot. 5 minutes. Just wait.
What do I want here? Not what am I desperate to get because of my situation. You are living in the street, you don't have blanket. You hear somebody say the word blanket, you're jumping on them. You're going to get disappointed, even if you get the blanket. But you wait. Develop a desire. What do you want from life? I want a home. You want blanket or home? I want home. But your blanket, your desire is blanket. Because I don't have it. Yeah, you don't have a lot of things. But relative to what you don't have now, blanket is good. That's where you're doing a mistake. That's where you get fooled. That's where God want to give us more. Fourth levels as God promised. And you're looking for things. People have a certain problem. I wish just I overcome that problem. No, no. You an idiot. God is waiting for you to ask for more than he gave you. It's going back to the same story with the lady. So it's very important. Anyway, I promise people not to keep them long. So I'm going to skip to another section, okay, that's helping us to understand the Creator in and how to do it. More specific, how to do it. So let's read it, please.
Rabbi Abba opened the discussion saying, "And you shall love Hashem, your Elohim, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Similarly, what we said about the unification of right and left, the holy unification is also alluded to here, and it serves as an admonition to man to profess the unity of the holy name properly with supernatural love, with all your heart, namely with both your inclinations, which are right and left, and are called good inclination and evil inclination, and with all your soul. This is the soul of David that is placed between them, and with all your might, meaning to join them, the right and the left, above in the place where there is no limit.
So let me ask you a question, guys. How do you love God with your evil side? Think about your evil side now. The worst part of yourself, you hate that part of yourself. How can you love God from the worst part of who you think you are? Like what would be a worse part? I mean, don't talk about yourself. Maybe you're embarrassed now. But let's say laziness. Let's say anger. Hatred. Hate is bad. You want my hate side to love God. What do you think? So will you check yourself if you love God? Take your time. I'm not getting reactive. Take a few minutes. How do you love God from the evil side? Think. Use your brain. It's good. 2019 is coming, guys. We got to change. We always think, the Zohar, it's not what I'm saying. The Zohar said 2,000 years ago, if you really want to check if you love God, your evil side have to love God too. Not just the bad, the good side. Till now, we thought, as you're becoming better and good, you can love God more. No, no, no. The bad side has to learn to love God too. Drink some wine, take some cracker, relax. Cheese, carrot. Yes, please.
Maybe next time, for example, you're very angry, you put it on hold for like a few minutes and delay. What, you know, can you consider God and then...
But how, he said use the anger to love God. He doesn't say stop the anger. The anger, Mr. Anger, have to love God too. Craziness going on in the Zohar tonight. Crazy. My anger said to God, I love you. My anger should be, shh. No. Here instead of saying, shh. Hey, come with me. We're going to love God together. Anger, loving God. Anger is bad. Jealousy is bad. Addiction is bad. All of this is bad. At least that's what we say. Nobody in society. You know, you take a kid, bad you. You're getting angry. Zohar says something else. Okay. Anger of kids. Now, let's see how this part love God. Complicated. Think. It's good to think. Yes, please.
You have to have that jealousy. You have to have that anger. back towards what you're working for. Like, for instance, I don't know if this was the right example that you gave. You said if you're jealous of someone that works harder than you, that that's smarter than you, that's going to drive you to work harder.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Kinat Sofrim. It's called jealousy of the scriber. Kinat Sofrim. Jealousy of the scriber, meaning it will motivate you to be as good as they are. Yes. Yes. I like it. I like the direction you took here. But think about yourself for a second. Think deep about yourself and think about an area of your life. Don't share it. That you are ashamed of. Something you are definitely ashamed of. And see if you're capable of that thing that you are ashamed of, that you wish it will disappear, to use it to love God. It's almost like to keep it. Please, please.
I think that if you carry this emotion, they will actually bring you closer to God.
How?
Because you're asking God for help to overcome it.
Okay, asking love to overcome it. I like that new direction too. Okay, I like it. I like it. Okay. But he's saying something more crazy here. It's more crazy than normal here. He's telling us that that side, until we don't teach that side inside of us to love God, we don't truly yet loving God. So let me take you a little bit deeper with that. Okay, it's a little bit complicated, and I hope that God will give me the words and the way to explain it well. Do you believe that you have two sides? Do you believe you have good side and bad side? Do you believe in that?
Yes.
Okay. Then comes the second question, tough one. Who created the good and who created the bad?
God.
Everybody agree?
Yes.
God created both?
Yes.
So why is God not giving us a break and just create the good? Why God have to give us this problem? I don't want that problem. What do you mean?
Well, like laziness doesn't have to, that's my judgment that it's bad. But maybe being lazy keeps me, from getting myself in trouble.
Oh, you're saying laziness stopping you from getting into a problem. I like it. Okay. But how can you love God from laziness? Yeah, like laziness is the filter of loving God. You know? So I would like to talk about it. So in 2019, it's very important consciousness to change, because I see many people hate themselves so bad for the bad thing they have. You should never hate, because I see many rabbis and speakers, you should hate your problem. No, your problem needs to be transformed. And for that reason, when I gave the name to this organization, Vital Transformation, Vital is after Rabbi Chaim Vital, actually, that's what the name for. And transformation. Transformation, meaning you have to transform. You're not supposed to change. You're not supposed to change. God created you a certain way. Now let's transform that. So your negative and positive are supposed to be used both to connect. The good we understand. Bad. What is bad does for you? Let's think about the bad. The passionate to love the wrong thing. When people are addicted to something, what they do, they love what they addicted to. Makes sense? They love what, but it's love. They love what they addicted to. The Zohar mentioned that they love the wrong thing. So now you have, let's say, 100 hours a week to love. Let's say. In the 100 hour week you have to love, you use all of it to love what is bad for you. Addiction don't change, addiction being replaced. You cannot change addiction. If you're an addict, you're an addict. So people are addicts. The Baal Shem Tov said in one of his books, he writes like this, a person who never know a lust, L-U-S-T, will never love God properly. Baal Shem Tov, it's a shocking verse. A person who never knew lust can never love God properly. Because from lust, from the lust, you can love God. It's your channel to love God. From anger, you get angry. And through, what is anger? Anger is a certain emotion, it's an explosion of loving God. Was King David angry? Of course. He was a killer. He was a soldier. He used that passion, When he saw Torah coming, like the synagogue, he was not like us. You know what he used to do? You know what he used to do? He used to do, flip-flop, you know? Rolling on the floor first. After he rolled on the floor, he'd jump in there like in a circus. All kind of jumping. You should read. Google it. You will be shocked. King David. And what happened to his wife, his first wife, Michal, the daughter of Shaul. That's how close he was with King Saul. Michal saw him dancing. What kind of a husband I'm married to? An angel came next to her, the same moment. And he said to God, this woman don't deserve to have baby. She never had baby after that. He cursed her, the angel. Why? Because she judged a human being who used all his passion and anger and everything into loving the Creator. Don't change people, transform people. Take a playboy on the yacht. Usually if I would be in Florida, I would be invited to a party on the yacht. Oh, like I'd be telling the party. I'm studying with a lecture, and in the end of my lecture, people jump to the ocean. That was my normal lecture, you know? That's Florida. So in the beginning, I was judging because I came from New York. New York is proper thing by the box. That's how it need to be. This is good. This is bad. Come to Florida. It's not by the rules. What happened here? What? And then you realize, and I thought they're bad people. In my mind, I judge them, bad people. I think I told this until a rich man came over to me and took me aside. God bless me, saved my life, saved my spiritual life. And tell me, can I take you to lunch? I said, of course. I'm sitting with him, nice kosher restaurant. There's not a good kosher restaurant in Florida, but we went somewhere. So we cut the lettuce or whatever with a paper plate. And he looked at me and said to me, are you judging me? And of course, so right away I'm protected. Why would I judge you? I don't say no, but I say, why would I judge you? He said, because you are. You're judging the expensive watch I wear, the Lamborghini that parked next to the yacht, the thing that didn't, you have issue with rich people, you think rich people can never be spiritual. He gave it to me like, pa, 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 pa. I didn't know what to say. He hit 20 from 20. Everything was right. And then after the lady was screaming, you said the people not spiritual. Did you say it in your mind? I look at him, I said, I, and then he looked at me that I cannot answer. And he said the magic words. He said, I will still be your friend. So if you still be my friend, you 20 from 20 is absolutely right. Unbelievable. He said, why are you judging? I said, well, I don't see it together. I think this is a spiritual group and this is not. And money is making you this. So he helped me a lot. It happened 14 years ago when I met him. So 14 years ago, he changed my life about how to view things. And we should not judge. When you see people going crazy and wild, and this could be from that person. That person can do more than any rabbi, or any priest, or any person in the world. They know how to be happy. Those people, they know how to be happy. You might judge them that they're addicted to this and sex and alcohol. But if you transform that, you should never be ashamed of your worst side, because your worst side is the key to success to the good side. You are the one who transforms everything. And if you are not transform your worst side into a good side, a lot of things going on. If you don't transform the bad side into loving the Creator, then the bad side become alone and you're gonna lose, and the good side become alone and you will be tear apart. So don't be proud of your good side, because that was created by God. But don't also feel that you are the worst person in the world. Even the bad part was not created by you. We are so humiliated because we are nothing. When you behave bad, it's not your choice. Your bad side told you to do that. When you behave good, it's not your choice. Your good side tells you to do that. You are just have to be metaken. You're supposed to fix the bad side to make it loving the Creator good. So when it say love the neighbor as thyself, say the Mekubalim, the Kabbalists teach it like this. Love the neighbor as thyself. Who is the neighbor? Your evil side. Love the neighbor as thyself. So you have to teach your neighbor to love the neighbor and get it closer. Say, hey, listen to me. I know I have that issue. Everybody has issue. Then people tell you, I don't have issue. The worst. We all have issues. We all have issue. Oscar Wilde said, how he used to say it, every sinner has a future and every saint has a past. You have to remember that verse. Everyone. And the idea is to stop working on it. This year, 2019, wow, I have that issue. I can turn that around to love God. What I'm going to do? What I'm going to do, like jealousy mentioned, like anger, passionate, like I'm going to go wild and crazy and all this and that. Laziness. Sometimes I get lazy. You know, so how the lazy, like Yvette said, how the lazy can be used to love God? So when you are about to do some crime, you become lazy about it. You say to the crime, hey, listen. Sometimes I talk to my ego before my mind go negative. And I said to my ego like this, me and my ego talk to each other, say, listen, don't you rather we do something big together? We're going to be big. You're going to be famous. I'm going to be famous. Let's do a bigger sin. What do you give me that small thing to think about? What's wrong with you? You're not thinking bigger. All of a sudden, try it at home. And you will see that all of a sudden, even the sin looks small. So the sin becomes a shame. Like, okay, let's look for something bigger. And then you have a day off. And then the next day you try again to come to you. So every time you think like this, 2019 can be so amazing. So amazing. Could be. Depends on you. But don't look at the bad side as bad. Look at the bad side as a tool to get you going. Now, let me just read one verse and then we're going to eat something again.
Another explanation of, and with all your might, this is Jacob, namely Zerampin, who is attached to all sides, to the right and to the left, be in the central column. And it all is the complete unity as it should be. Therefore, the passage says, and he is Aaron and Moses. He is Moses and Aaron. It is all one, for they have united one with the other without division between them.
So the Zohar going a little bit deeper, Jacob and David, Moses and Aaron, just names of the Merkavot, of the chariot, that include the Sefirot. You know, everything in this world, whatever seemed to be bad, is also created by God. Don't ever look at the bad side of somebody else or yourself as bad. It's a tool how to find God through that. And in the moment that you are really thinking like this, I promise you will see different things happen in your life in a way like there is not tomorrow. And 2019 will give us a lot of opportunity. Already tonight and tomorrow, you will be lazy to go meditate. You will be lazy to do things. But I would like to give one gift to 2019 that works when you get stuck. It's called pray. If you don't know what to do, sit and pray. If you know how to pray, pray. If you don't know how to pray, use your own words. Whatever it is, pray has power. Because pray use words and mind. There's three levels of transformation. Action, words, and mind. If you use only these two, the mind and the words, you're activating thing in the highest level that you can. So, Bezal Hashem, with the help of God, let's welcome 2019 in the best way we can and increase your desire, work from your two inclination, and pray when you're stuck. But remember, don't be ashamed of the bad part and don't judge people when you see them acting in a bad way, because the same bad way that they behave, if they transform that, they will be higher than everybody else. For that reason, King David, who came from nothing, become who he was. All those people that came from nothing and become unbelievable. Rish Lakish, those of you who know the Talmud. Rish Lakish, if you read the Talmud, Rish Lakish was a criminal. He was the one who fight in Rome, in the arena. What do you call those people? Gladiator. You know? He was the most dangerous man, killer. I don't even want to mention bad things about him because it's embarrassing. If you read about him, say, I never will do such a thing. The worst human being in the Talmud. He became one of the greatest rabbis. In the end of his life, he was killed by his own rabbi. And after his own rabbi killed him, he died too. It's a weird story. In the Talmud, if you want to read, you Google Rish Lakish, and you will find out. But even Rish Lakish, who was the most negative person, changed into most elevated spiritual person. May we have a happy new year. May we have gathering together.